Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
Hey, 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 I'm Jimmy Carboni from Beer Sessions Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America, I'm Chad Pagano. I'm a former Army sniper, a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid lifelong hunter, and you're listening to the Wild Game Domain on heritageradionetwork.org. Thanks for joining me today as the impending blizzard races down on New York City, 20 to 30 inches, and our great leader, the mayor, has suggested this may be one of the biggest storms in the history of New York City. So I feel like there's some excitement in the air. You know, we're surviving. You know, I'm a survivalist. I love this stuff, any kind of stuff like this. It makes me have purpose. I got to stay alive. Having said that, Long Island Railroad better stay open because I'm cutting out of work early, getting on the train and going home so I could survive in the comfort of my home. Got the generator all gassed up last night. I'm ready to go. If the power goes out, I'm gonna be okay. So, you know, take it seriously. This is a big one, and be safe out there. Having said that, I just want to take a minute here and talk about the movie as a patriot, as a sniper, former sniper. I want to talk about American Sniper, the movie, the Clint Eastwood movie just came out. I saw it the other day. First of all, I read the book, and the movie's never as good as the book, right? We all know that, and that's true of this. I read the book. Our imagination is far better than any movie they could put up there. Having said that, I thought it was excellent. They kind of caught the feeling that Chris Kyle had, you know, about his mission or his job in the Navy, being a SEAL, and as a sniper, he felt like it was less about killing people than it was about saving Americans, saving soldiers who were over there. And however you feel about that, I mean, you got to take him for what he says. He didn't enjoy killing people, and he was keeping Americans alive. You may disagree with the war, but to attack Kyle really makes, especially since he's dead, makes very little sense to me. Attack the war, go after the war. The war was stupid. The war was that's all good. That's why we live in America. But to attack a deceased, in my opinion, hero, makes very little sense. So Michael Moore, you know, a lot of people are asking me, I guess as a sniper, because I'm an expert, you know, I could comment on this because I'm a sniper. And first of all, never to the level this guy was, not even close. He had a bravery I'll never understand. But you know, who cares what Michael Moore says? That's why we live in America. His comments were asinine. He called me a coward, you know. Okay, Michael Moore, I'm inviting you right now to come on my show and debate that. Let's talk about how snipers are cowards, in your opinion, because your great-grandfather was killed by a sniper. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and tout the German military, but to call them cowards? I don't know if I'd do that. I'd ask some of the guys from World War II if the Germans were cowards. I don't think I've ever heard that. So, you know, there's my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. Go see the movie. It's a great movie. And as far as I'm concerned, the sniper with the most confirmed kills in the history of the United States is a hero. End of story. What do you think of that, Jack? Good statement? Thank you. But now let's get back to our show, the Wild Game Domain. So next week I'm going to have a guest on. I think you're going to find it very interesting. This guy runs his own hunting school, and he offers a couple of courses, you know, kind of like Hunting 101. He does lectures. He does a presentation on kind of the first steps of getting into hunting. And then he goes as far as tailoring specific classes for the beginning hunter, and he'll take you out in the field and he'll teach you everything you need to know to get started in hunting. And, you know, that's, I've been preaching for a while, you know, get out there and this is how you do it and call me if you need support. And I know it's very hard, but this is the way to go. This guy's offering a great service. So we're going to have him next week. And as you know, the show, I'm obviously a lifelong hunter and supporter of our undertaking. And, I'm a little dismayed by the image problem and that hunters have these days in some circles. And I'm a little dismayed that I feel like the anti-hunting movement is getting an upper hand on us as hunters, as outdoorsmen, as conservationists. So I thought today's show would kind of... look at what we could do as hunters or even as supporters of hunters, what you can do. If, you know, I think it's something as high as 4 out of 5 Americans support hunting as it exists right now. And that's a huge number, man. Hunting is supported. So why are the numbers declining? Why are the applications for hunting licenses declining in a lot of the states? Overall, the numbers are down. We could try to pump it up any way we want, but less people are hunting today. And, you know, for me, and we'll talk about this later, you know, I think it's, we're not doing a good job with the image as or getting the word out on what hunting could bring to your life or how it can make you have a more fulfilled life. And I don't think we're doing a good enough job bringing the young hunters up and into our world. Kids are more likely to sit around and, you know, play, you know, iPod games or Xbox. You know, they could shoot up, play Call of Duty all day. My son, if I let him, would sit there all day playing Call of Duty. You know, but we got to get them out. It's our responsibility to get them and their friends involved and out in the woods. Back when I grew up, we didn't have that. I had Atari at some point and it sucked. It was Pong and Tank Battle. So I didn't mind putting down that joystick and getting out in the woods with my father. So, you know, as hunters today, we have an uphill battle, but it's our responsibility. You got to take this serious. I'm going to call it, I guess, image building in a way. We have to build the hunter's image, to gain, you know, acceptance from hunters, non-hunters, and hopefully sway a decent amount of the anti-hunting movement, if they can be swayed. They're lunatics as far as I'm concerned. But so, you know, the image of hunting and the image of the hunters themselves is really, in my opinion, in serious trouble right now. These anti-hunters have invented some really vivid negative imagery. And believe me, they capitalize on it. These organizations, they capitalize anything that we put out there that we think is positive. You know, the example is the pretty girl over a dead African animal on Facebook. They jump all over that and they can't wait to use that against us. So, you know, and listen, this is not a new problem. It's a longstanding problem, but I think it's in the forefront now because of social media, Twitter, Facebook, all of these web, you know, the internet in general, the anti-hunters are using that media to their advantage. And it's important that hunters, you know, take this into consideration, the perception that people have of us. And I'm to blame. Go to my Twitter account and there's dead bloody animals. And, you know, I'm going to reevaluate that. I don't know if that's the way to go. A friend of mine who I love can't wait to tweet a picture of a gut pile after he kills an animal. He thinks it's, I guess, witty. To instead of sending the picture of the animal, he shows the guts of the animal after he's gutted it. And I thought it was kind of witty too. And I thought it was kind of down to earth approach. You know, look, I'm not even showing you the animal. I'm showing you the guts. He's a blue collar hunter. It's not about the trophy. It's about, this proves I killed an animal and now I'm going to eat it. But this is the stuff I think, and I'm not going to tell you what's right or wrong, but this is the stuff we should really be reflecting on before we post it or before we talk about it or before we push it out there. Because, again, the anti-hunting movement is going to grab it and say, look at these savages. Look what they do. Look at these. Look at this gut pile, even though that gut pile lays there and enriches the earth, feeds the rest of the animals in the woods, the coyotes, the raccoons, the field mice all feed off of this gut pile. And the truth of the matter is that deer would have died eventually anyhow and laid there and decayed. So, you know, the main thing here, and this kills me to say it, but I'm going to say it because I'm basically bowing to the government. We have to remember hunting is treated as a legislated privilege that we have. They give us the right to do it. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say we have a right to go out and kill animals. So we have to be careful with it. I mean, you could argue, actually, now that I think about it, Jack, 10th Amendment might say that, actually. But for now, we're not going to pick that fight. It's legislated by the government. And we need to hold that and keep that close to us and make sure that we're being responsible in our approach to that endeavor. If we mistreat it, we could lose that privilege very easily. If more people turn against us, if these anti-hunting groups get a foothold, that could all turn against us. And I don't think it would happen overnight. I don't think, just like the erosion of our Second Amendment, do I think it could happen overnight? No, I don't think it would. But it's slowly eroding. And that's what could happen in the hunting industry. It's especially vulnerable because no authority exists without their special permission. And that's a little scary for me as a libertarian. You know, it's there and it's truth. It's truthful. So I have to address it. So, you know, be careful. The greatest challenge is how to improve our image. Really, it's our image that we need to look out for. Every organization has knuckleheads, right? Every organization. Take 10% of any organization and you're going to get a racist in there. You're going to get, what are you going to get? A bully. You're going to get all of these other undesirable elements that we don't like in society. They're in all organizations. So, you know, to say they don't exist within the hunting community is a little blind. It's a little silly. All we could do is within our circle try to make it better. We got to improve the image of hunters and make sure we're getting this out. Anti-hunters, they assert that hunting is somehow, I think their overall argument is somehow out of style. It's unpopular. It's losing its following. It's not a thing we need to do anymore. Why do these savages go out there and kill animals when they don't have to? You know, they're kind of okay with the historic aspects of hunting. You know, Daniel Boone went out there and killed a lot of bear because he had to. Why does Chad do it? He doesn't need to. You know, they're overall, when I read, and I do, I always go to their sites. I want to see what the enemy's up to. You know, I want to see what their angle is going to be. And, you know, their point is it's a hunting, guys, is a sinking ship. Abandon it. Get off it. It's marginalized at best. It's these radicals, and they're kind of tying us in politically. You know, we're these right-wing extremists, you know, gun owners, gun right guys. And the anti-hunters broadcast all of this and get it out there. You know, the anti-hunters act as if it's all fact. You know, this is, you can't dispute this. Even if we went at the current rate, all these hunters would be gone, you know, within a period of a couple of years. The fact of the matter is that's not true. It's just not true. Don't let them get away with it. Call them out when you can. It's a bandwagon, and people are jumping onto it, and it's really a farce. The one activity that is misrepresented to be the most, have the most chances of fading into history are really, you know, the most popular ones. The outdoor activities in this country that we enjoy are you know, obviously getting out there and the harvesting of animals. it's an exceptional activity. It's one of the few activities that is actually still growing in some ways in some states, and they're doing the right thing. It's not, you know, it's not growing nationally anymore, but the example is Pennsylvania, down 20%. Massachusetts, license, down 50%. But you look to Montana, you look to the more rural states, they're booming. Their hunting industry is exploding, and they're picking up the numbers. So what's the difference? Well, there's a lot of things that are hurting certain states, especially the Northeast states where I'm from. You know, I'm a New York guy. I'm a New York hunter for the most part. I hunt in Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, this tri-state area. We need to be better in our hometowns, and it starts at home, right where we are. We need to get that word out and make sure that we're promoting it on a local level, on a national level, through internet, through social media. And that's what we could do on a daily basis and just represent the sport in a better light. You know, don't wear a stupid T-shirt. If it's brown, it's down. I saw a T-shirt that said that, and it had a dead deer laying on the ground. And I guess there was, I don't know, maybe some racial implications. I don't know exactly. I guess deer are brown, and it was a funny little twist. But why? Why do you need that shirt? I don't like that saying. I used to say it a little bit because I thought it meant, you know, I'm not a trophy hunter. I'm a meat hunter. So if it's got brown fur on it, it's a deer, I'm shooting it. I'm not waiting for the 18-pointer. But the more I look at it, I understand that. Most hunters would understand that. But the non-hunter looking at that shirt gets the wrong impression. So, you know, things like that. And don't give me the, oh, it's my right. I have a right to do it. I'm going to wear it. Who cares what they think? We should care what they think because they're the enemy and they're the ones pushing for our extinction. So when we come back, we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we'll talk about, you know, a few more specifics to this, what I'll call image problem within the hunting industry. We'll be right back on heritagenetwork.com.
Today's break song called Jump Rope by the Ginger Lees. This is Heritage Radio Network.
Since 2001, Heritage Foods USA has sold pasture-raised, antibiotic-free heritage meats to restaurants and homes around the country. Our farmers raise their animals with care using traditional methods guaranteed to produce the very best-tasting meat. Our pork breeds include Berkshire, Red Wattle, Duroc, Gloucester Old Spot, Large Black, and Tamworth, and our beef comes from Piedmontese, Angus, Akiyushi, Belgian Blue, Highland, Simmental, and Belted Galloway cattle. We also carry a rotation of 24 rare breeds of heritage chicken, seasonal specialties like lamb, goat, geese, and of course, heritage turkeys. Visit us online at www.heritagefoodsusa.com or give us a call at 718-389-0985 to place your order today.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the Wild Game Domain on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Chad Pagano. All right, so let's talk about something. You know, it's kind of an angle I think the anti-hunting movement takes to put pressure on us, and I'm going to call it the Endangered Species Doom and Gloom Movement. You know, and this misconception exists that all wildlife is on the brink of extinction. Everything, you know, we're murdering all the animals. We're slaughtering all the animals. And for probably my whole life, the public has been bombarded by authorities, we'll call them, you know, with assertions that the wildlife is doomed. It's doomed. We're never going to have wildlife anymore. You know, and this message, how is this message sent? Well, these days it's sent through the internet, you know, social media, the news outlets, through the government, through Endangered Species Acts, you know, with their special protective legislations. There's also been continuous fundraising messages from across the world. From these, what I call mainline conservation organizations, you know, and they be careful because in theory, I look at a conservation, most conservation organizations, and I'm like, hey, they're saving the pandas. You know, they're really, a lot of them are masks for anti-hunting organizations or within their organization. If they're not that, they certainly harbor a fair amount of anti-hunting sentiment. So we got to be real careful with these organizations, as well as, the straight out anti-hunters and their predictions of doom. It's how they raise their money. It's how they get funded, right? How, if they said to you, hey, guess what? Everything's fine. The polar bear's fine. Stop worrying. Would you send them a dime? Would you adopt the panda? Would you do any of that? No, of course you wouldn't. So it's doom. It's doom. It's over. The animals are falling off the earth. These savage hunters are slaughtering them. And so we are bombarded continually with this theme. And the problem is the misconception that comes from this, that all wildlife is threatened. It becomes pervasive and so deep-seated it's hard to overcome. Of course, there can be very little tolerance of hunting by the public that think it's hunting endangered wildlife. And I wouldn't blame them if we were doing that, but that's, we all know that's not what we do, or believe that the targets are truly endangered because of hunting. What would happen if they decided to try to convince the world that the white-tailed deer has become endangered? There's a study a couple of years ago that showed school-age children in the heart of Texas with one of the densest deer populations in the world think that the white-tailed deer is actually endangered. When questioned further, they went on to say they thought because of hunters. They thought hunters were the cause of this endangered whitetail population. And it wasn't true. It was so not true. They were overpopulated. Most places, deer are overpopulated. So I picked the most radical of all cases. You know, here they found this one thing in Texas, but it exists and it could exist further if we let it. This perception is obviously not true. Wildlife has to be looked at and has to be preached about from us as a renewable resource. Turkeys are a renewable food source. White-tailed deer are a renewable food source. And if we look at it and live by that, it's going to be hard to argue with. It's hard to argue with people who are looking at it from a practical conservation level. The best management practice is to keep the populations of these animals below capacity at levels where, you know, their reproduction and survival levels are higher. There is less stress on the herds of any animal. This is true of less cases of disease, less competition over habitat, so the habitat is better maintained. Wildlife sustainable use can and has provided recreational hunting in the classic form forever. And that's really what we have to preach. That's really how we have to look at it. Sportsmen are the conservation heroes of wildlife in North America. Fact. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Differently. We're the backbone of really the most successful conservation system in the world today, in the United States, in North America in general. We're really the most successful conservation organization that's ever existed on this planet. And we're talking about at least the last 150 years, the last 120 years, more than any of us have been alive, this has been true. The wildlife in this country has never done better. And don't keep that a secret. Don't be embarrassed to say that's an accomplishment that we have under our belt, that we did because of our taxes, because of the money we pay, because of support, because of our culling of the herds, and the using of these renewable food sources. Every pro-hunting organization has made it clear there are record numbers of game animals in this country. And again, thanks to the hunting traditions in North America. Different organizations publish an up-to-date, unendangered species poster that I just love. One of them is the National Turkey Federation. They do a great poster. And they give credit where credit is really due to us, the hunters. And they mail it to schools, and they mail it to different organizations. And some of the things that this poster will tell you is there's 105 million ducks in this country. There are 34 million whitetails. There are 5.2 million turkeys. There are 1.2 million elk, nearly 1 million black bears, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Moreover, sportsmen and sportswomen are largely responsible for the restoration, we'll call it, of these animals. And we need to help expand this information and promote the good side of hunting and what we've done. The bottom line is the fact is that game that we hunt, for the most part, is not doomed. Thanks to hunters and hunting organizations. For the example, there is no match in the conservation world for this organization, Ducks Unlimited. Now, I'm not selling them. They're a great organization. If you're a duck hunter and not a member of Ducks Unlimited, you're wrong. That's the bottom line. They've expended $1.4 billion on wildlife conservation and saved 8 million acres, 8 million acres of habitat by themselves. There is no match for that in North America. Different organizations that help the wild sheep, and these are pro-hunting organizations. The increase in the wild sheep population from, 30,000 to 200,000. The wild, as mentioned, the North American Wild Turkey Federation, which has more than doubled the number of wild turkeys in this country. Sportsmen's wildlife conservation organizations are still dominant in North America, even if overlooked by the media, by the general media, by the mainstream media. What are we apologizing for? Don't apologize. Join these organizations, get involved in these organizations, and help them promote our sport. They're the professionals. We could do it on a grassroots level. What's that saying, Jack?
Grassroots, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Grassroots level. But the bigger organizations have the money and the power, and if we contribute to them, we're only helping. Make no mistake about it. Hunters, think of it as we're kind of the stakeholders. We're the stewards of our wildlife and wild places. So it's important that our conservation efforts not be represented, in a negative light. And there's no reason for us, the people doing the right thing by these animals, to apologize to anybody. Never apologize. For a fact, hunters are indispensable to the wildlife conservation system. their special interest grows more important each year as the competition for more land space, urban sprawl, all of these things come about. We are the ones that are the protectors of the wildlife. And we need to become more fierce, not in a violent way, obviously, and not in a negative way, in a positive way. Do we kill or do we hunt? Have you said, I'm going killing this weekend? Oh, I can't wait to get out there and do some killing. No, we're hunters. The anti-hunters rhetoric, focuses on that one small portion of the hunt called the kill. And they totally ignore the whole hunt. The rest of the hunt doesn't exist to them. It was the kill part, right? So, they mischaracterize us or hunters or hunting in general by kind of framing the question, if I get this one, I get it all the time. How can you have fun killing? It's fun? You enjoy killing? And they claim that I don't and hunters don't care for wildlife or we wouldn't kill it. It's very simplistic in their minds. How do you say you love something and care and cherish it, but then kill it? They also assert for the most part that killing is fundamentally wrong. I mean, back to American Sniper. Is killing what I consider, in his case, the enemy or someone going to kill his brothers? Evil? I don't know. That's a bigger debate than I want to have. But certainly killing an animal and eating it is not wrong. Never has been. Never has been. On the face of this earth, that's never been wrong. And so their whole argument is it's wrong to hunt for recreation. Meanwhile, a lot of them are going to eat meat bought at the local A&P anyhow, where these poor animals are kept in conditions we all are aware of. And the state of the, food production in this country is ridiculous. But we're the ones that are going to be attacked. So just remember, big game hunters are really the mainstay. And we need to increase our numbers and we need to make sure the numbers of responsible, intelligent hunters are growing in this country. Game animal numbers are spiking at record numbers and hunting is a desirable order within this spike. We need more hunters to handle this. If we don't, the deer herds are going to get out of control, and we see that on Long Island and other places. So let's make hunting, all of us take the responsibility and make hunting worthy of respect and support and try to gain support for it, through our words, through our actions, through our maturity in our approach to hunting. We'll have a more successful hunt at the end of the day, if we could do that. Hope that didn't come across as real preachy, did it? Jack? I hate to preach.
Preach?
Yeah. Yeah?
No, do it.
All right. I didn't want it to sound that way.
You make great points.
Yeah, that's my thing. I just want to make the points and make sure hunters realize it. You guys have to realize that we're on the right side of this. There's right and wrong in my small world, and make sure we know we're on the right side of wildlife conservation, and we're doing the right thing by these animals for the most part. And listen, there are bad hunters. That's what I was trying to get at before. There's bad people in every organization. We need to call them. We need to get them out of our ranks. We need to report them. We need to, I'm not a rat. My father always told me, always keep your mouth shut and never rat on your friends. Those are not your friends. You rat out the bad guys, the poachers, the people, the drinkers, the people, the unsafe hunters. Those people are the ones that we need to cull from our ranks as responsible stewards of the wildlife. Thank you. That's all the time we have today. You've been listening to the Wild Game Domain on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. And remember, if you kill it, you better eat it.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.